Don't worry. I will explain what that recording was that you heard at the beginning of the show. But, Dash, I did it, man.
What'd you do now?
No, this is something good. You don't have to talk down to me. You don't have to look at me like I did something bad.
What'd you do now?
No, this is an accomplishment. This is
always
great news.
Always something with you.
Well, yeah, I know it's always something. But seriously, this is good news. Because I did the impossible. A lot of people said that this was not possible, but yes, I managed to get Optimum Online to work with Linux. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
I had the tiger, man. I got a Rocky flashback going.
And if you want to hear the rest of that, just rent Rocky 4 or something. Let me tell you something. I am so thrilled that I finally managed to do this. Now, a lot of people out there are probably saying, well, come on now, Screamer. I mean...
Come on, man. It's not that hard.
I know. You just hook up the modem, hook it up to Linux, you know, tell it what to do, and you're on. Well, folks, I got to tell you something. I learned something.
What'd you learn?
I learned that it's not Optimum and it's not Linux. Well,
you
it is optimum because they won't help you, but they still claim before they sell it to you that it would work with Linux. But I learned that they are dirty, rotten liars.
Are they?
Yes, they are. They are dirty, filthy, disgusting, rotten, horrible liars.
That's a pretty mean thing to say.
Yeah, but it's the truth, though, so I can say it.
Oh, yeah, well, then, of course you can.
It's not slander. I say that, though, because when they sold me the equipment, they guaranteed me that the equipment that they were selling me would be compatible with Linux. But guess what?
What?
It's not.
It's not?
It's not. Now, you could argue that I bought the equipment at the Wiz, so they're the dirty, rotten, filthy, blah, 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 liars. But keep in mind that they are in collaboration with Optimum. So as far as I'm concerned, as an average consumer, they are just one entity trying to screw me over.
Not in collaboration. They're in cahoots.
Okay, same thing. Better word, though. The point of it is that they sold me this equipment that they promised. I mean, they didn't say, I promise it will, but when they sell you something and you ask them right out in the open, you just ask them, will this work with Linux? You know, will this equipment work with Linux? And they tell you yes. That's a promise. That's a guarantee because you're giving them money for this equipment. But then I hook up the network card and it doesn't work. So I call up Optimum and they tell me, well, sir, we don't support Linux.
I see.
Yeah, like anyone does, right? I had mentioned this plenty of times on the show. Plenty of times. And so I was really getting aggravated here because they sold me something, told me it would work, and now it doesn't. And of course, the one Optimum guy that I got told me that, yeah, my buddy has it, it works, all the equipment that came with it works. Yeah, but you know, this network card here, it's plug and play, it's ISA, yeah, Linux is just not liking it. No, it works, go look around online. Okay, so I went looking online. And of course, you would find the link that says to get Optimum Online working with Linux, click here. You click it.
You think it's your salvation.
Yeah, and then you get a 404 file not found.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's how it goes.
So, I'm totally lost. I can't complain. I mean, how do you complain to Linux? There is no Linux. You can't just go up to Linus Torvalds and shake him.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't really do that to Bill Gates either.
You can just throw a pie in his face. But Optimum, okay, they're there, so I'm going to go to them and I'm going to say to them, listen, this doesn't work, but they tell you, well, it does, but we don't support it.
Yeah.
All right, so I gave up on that. I realized that the network card they gave me was just not going to go down without a fight. It was not going to work. I couldn't get it, so I quit. I gave up.
Oh, man.
My next step, since I already had Linux on my laptop, and that's pretty much all I use my laptop for, I thought my next step should be to get a network card for that. But then I was reading online about all the problems people were having with these PCMCIA cards, the PC cards, that they can't get them to work with Linux or with Optimum, blah, blah, blah. So I find a company called Belkin that promises, again, that this works with Linux. And this time they actually say it. It says works with Linux, so I said, all right, let me get it.
Yeah, I have a laptop, as you know, and it's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 14.4 kbps PCMCIA modem card, and I got it to work.
Well,
in Linux, yeah.
Well, that's good, but of course, that's your word alone would not be enough to get, you know, to convince me to get this, but
yeah, I'm just saying that it's not really, it wasn't that hard for me.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'll try to make this as short as possible. I know people don't want to hear the whole thing. I get the card, I plug it in, and of course, right away it doesn't work. I didn't expect it to be honest with you. But I'm fighting it. I'm looking up stuff online. I'm trying to find things. Some guys are saying you can't use Pump to get the DHCP servers. You have to use DHC client because Pump's no good. All right, so I download DHC client. I get that in. But I can't use it because for some reason I don't have the kernel source, so I have to go on to the Mandrake CD, use RPM to get the source onto the machine into a user source Linux, and next I need the PCMCIA source. I get that. I have to download that from some university's FTP site. So now I have that on the machine. I tried using DAC client, doesn't work. So right now, I'm just freaking out here. What the hell is going on? I'm changing things around. I'm trying to rebuild the kernel. I'm following all these tutorials. Nothing's working. Finally, you know, I just get so sick of it that I take out the network card, or not the network card, just the wire, and I go back to my desktop. Right now, at first, my desktop wouldn't reconnect to Optimum, so what I always do is I unplug the modem, plug it back in, it resets and connects. So I'm typing away, and then I think, hey, wait a second, I had to unplug the modem and plug it back in. So then I go back over to my laptop, unplug the modem, plug it back in, run DHC client, and it works.
There you go.
It works. It connected. It's not, the thing is that it's not always on, though. It's not always on. If I plug in that modem right now, it will not be connected to Optimum like it would be in Windows. I have to manually run DHC client to contact the DHCP servers, which will then give me my IP address, which, ironically enough, is different from my desktop. But that's the end of my spiel. I did it.
You did it. Should we mention that the show is HackerMind?
Yeah. Well, if you haven't figured that out yet, considering this really is the only show on this network, or station, or whatever you want to call it, I know I've said that there are others, but I lied. The show is HackerMind, and I'm your host, Screamer Chaotix, 3-time publisher in 2600. Haha, bow down. And the co-host, that amazing guy with the southern accent on the phone, is Mr. Dash Danger Interrupt.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, yes. Now, Dash,
mention real quick the chat room.
That's irc.box.sk channel HackerMind. It's only the coolest damn place on IRC.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Dash.
What?
Look, just real quick, I don't mean to pimp myself out like this, but you know I'm in the new 2600, right?
Yes, I know.
You're just jealous.
I not know.
You're just jealous. Now, look at this picture. That comes along with the article. Did you notice this?
Yes, I have seen it. I've seen the picture.
Okay, did
here
you...
Here in front of me.
It's got the computer with the eye in it.
Yes.
Symbolizing an iMac. Okay, which I was using.
Right.
I'm assuming that's it. So, if I'm the one using the iMac, is that little guy me?
Probably, I would assume so, or just anybody, you know. Probably, well, he got the idea from you.
It's
but
a guy.
Yeah, I guess that's you, man.
It's a guy at an iMac.
You know, it's a good... It looks like you.
Yeah, but not the tie.
Not the tie, but everything else.
Yeah,
that's you.
Not the tie at all. Okay, so we've established that the show is HackerMind. All right. We're gonna shake things up a little bit.
We're going to shake things up.
Yeah, we're going to get wild. But first, I want to tell people what the hell that recording was that I played in the beginning.
Yeah, I couldn't even make it out. What was it?
I played in the beginning of the show. That was a recording that I found on 155.805. That's, was it megahertz? Yeah. I think it's megahertz. I don't know. I didn't check. And apparently it's the Trumbull, Connecticut's EMS service. Now, here's the odd thing. That frequency apparently is dead all day long, except for at 7 o'clock at night.
7 o'clock sharp?
7 o'clock sharp when they give out, or, well, a little after 7 maybe, when they give out their, I guess you call it an announcement of who they need for that night and for the next day.
I see.
It only comes out at 7 o'clock. And they have a whole frequency for this. I could be using that frequency for something, but no. They give it to them to broadcast to people.
So what did it say?
Well, I thought you could hear it. It said that they needed all sorts of people to come into the hospital. They started describing who they needed, like doctors, ambulance drivers, blah, blah, blah.
I see. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, well, it...
Your night at 7. That happened.
Well, from the times that I've checked it, yeah, and I tuned in tonight hoping to hear it again, and sure enough I did, so I opened up Sound Recorder in Windows XP and recorded it.
Windows XP, the only operating system that talks to you.
Yeah, it talks to you. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Want to see?
No. Actually, I want to hear it. What does it sound like?
Okay, they have a choice to, like, make different voices, but for right now, I just have the regular one. It's really sickening, though, that I'm having so much fun with...
Yeah, that is pretty sad.
Windows. Oh, Dash, you don't even have Linux installed.
I had to format the other day.
Sure right? You did. Sure you did.
I did, I right. swear.
You don't even want to play around with Linux. You don't even want to go in there and try to hack each other's computer.
Hey, you know I do. I just need to get around to installing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've been busy making the cover of Freak 18, which is...
And redesigning the site.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We should mention that. The HackerMind site is looking better than ever. We have past eps up, right?
Yeah, we do.
We have past episodes going back to December 6th, and every new episode that we make will be put up there. We don't know how many back episodes we can put up or how many new episodes we can put up because there are limitations, and space is not cheap, but, Dash, am I correct? We're going to put up as many as we can, and then after a while start deleting the older ones and putting up new ones? Is that how we're going to work it?
Well, I'd say we just keep putting them up and not delete anything until we have to.
Okay, so...
It's running on my site, actually, and the web host that I use, you have no set bandwidth limit, so who knows.
But you do have a space limit, though, I'm assuming.
No.
No?
No.
You can just store as many files as you want?
Yeah, but I've read on there that means a reasonable size. Actually, let me go check real quick, and I'll tell you what it says.
Yeah, because I don't want us to exceed that reasonable size, and all of a sudden you lose it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what.
All right, tell me what.
Oh, man, you see, now, because I'm recording here, the voice won't show up.
Okay. Oh, man.
Let me make sure I... Yeah, everything's right. Let me try it. No, it's not talking. I guess that's already in use. Ah, well. Maybe next time. Okay, while Dash is checking that out...
Apparently I have, I guess it's not unlimited. I think it used to be, but I now have 125 megs disk space.
125 megs, and each one's about 7, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too many, but we'll do our best. Overpayment of $5 or more will be refunded to the student. Overpayment of less than $5 will be retained by SCSU unless a refund is requested by the student. Man, am I glad that I got out of that school.
Oh, you did? You got out of your school?
Yeah, yeah. I could have sworn I mentioned that last week. I finally got out of Southern Connecticut State University. I am done with it. You don't have to hear about it anymore because I'm going to a new school. I did mention that last week.
Yeah, I think you did, yeah.
Yes, because we got mail about that, actually.
You did? We did?
Yeah, well, I did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, but talk about that later. Let's see what I wanted to talk about tonight. Oh, you see, tonight I was going to dedicate some time to basically ranting about some things that have really, really upset me. Now, first off, I'm sick and tired of this, okay, Dash? I am really sick and tired of hackers facing 75 years in prison.
I think we all are.
Yeah, but, I mean, I am really, really sick and tired of this. And you know what? I don't care. Some people say, well, if they do the crime, they should do the time. You know, if somebody does something and they do damage, they delete a file, they should be in prison. They should be punished. No, they shouldn't. Okay? No, they shouldn't. Because if I go into a building, take a hammer, and smash somebody's computer, you know what I'm going to get?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a fine.
You're not going to go to jail for 75 years.
Unless I was threatening someone, or I did something to a person. No, I'm not going to get 5 years in prison. I'm not going to get 20 years in prison. I'm not going to get anything.
But if you hack into that same computer...
Exactly, exactly. If you get around electronic encryption or, what am I looking for here? Security. If you get around that, then all of a sudden you're public enemy number one and you have to be locked away for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, I actually have a theory about why they give hackers so much more time than people like who would just go in and break it with a hammer.
Really? What's your theory?
Hey, you want to hear my theory?
Well, I'm not sure, but let's hear it.
Yeah, it's kind of a conspiracy theory.
I'm really pissed that voice didn't work. Okay, go ahead.
It's pretty much fact. Well, I don't know if it's pretty much fact, but I think it is that the government is more scared of intelligent people who can do things like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially ones that don't like the government.
Yeah.
So I think they give them more time to try and, you know, make people not do that.
That can definitely be, that's actually a really good theory, Dash.
I know.
It's one of your few good ones, because it makes a lot of sense. If you have Joe Schmo coming off the street smashing a computer, well, you know, he's an idiot. He's smashing it.
Yeah.
But when you have a really super intelligent person, or at least someone that knows how to use a rootkit, they're someone to be feared, because people don't understand computers, and when someone does, and they don't conform to the set ways of the world, or at least of this country, there's something to fear.
Exactly.
It's almost like with fiber optic. Here's the smartest man in New York, at least I think so. Possibly one of the smartest people in the country, if not the world, because he knows all about these things. And yet, he didn't want to conform. You know, he didn't want to work for the government. He didn't want to put his skills to quote-unquote good use, and so all of a sudden, he becomes this person that we need to make an example out of.
Right, yeah.
But speaking of examples, yeah, I'm doing good.
I'm
an idiot. Accused eBay hacker has been put on electronic leash. Now, there have been so many updates to this case since last week, it's not even funny.
What, really? I haven't heard anything.
If you go to Security Focus, Kevin Polson has been writing so many articles about this, it's crazy.
All right, so last week we reported that he volunteered for jail.
Exactly, yes. And then after that, there was an update that said he rehired his lawyer.
Which is a good move, I think.
And I think they eventually let him out, and then he actually went back to court, because I think somebody wanted to put him back in jail.
Wait a minute, they let him out?
Yeah.
I thought he wanted to be in there.
Well, he wanted to go there, but then he tried to get out, and he rehired his lawyer, and I don't know. It's just, there have been so many updates, it's not even funny, but
I think this guy is crazy.
Well, I don't know. Here's where we are now, okay? Until he goes to trial in March, the only sophisticated electronics in accused eBay hacker Jerome Heckenkamp's life will be the monitoring bracelet bolted to his ankle under a court issue Tuesday.
Oh, it's screamer chaotics, everybody.
Cleared what?
Nothing.
Don't dish me, Dash. I can hang up on you right now.
Go on. Go ahead.
Okay. Under a court order issued Tuesday, clearing the way for his release. Got it. In a hearing in federal court in San Jose, California, U.S. Magistrate Patricia Trumbull reestablished bail for the imprisoned computer whiz at $50,000, but imposed a new set of restrictions on his release. Heckenkamp will remain prohibited from using cell phones and the internet, and is now also banned from accessing or owning a computer, even without an internet connection. Yeah.
But why did they put even more restrictions on him?
Why did they put even more restrictions on him? You want to call him up and find out, because they don't say in the article.
Sure, you got a number for me?
No, but I can get one real quick.
Okay. You think they're open?
Probably. I'm sure she is, yeah.
No.
Trumbull carved out exceptions for ATMs, point-of-sale terminals, and some other computerized conveniences, while explicitly banning others, including video games and fax machines.
Wait, he can't play video games?
He can't play video games, Dash.
Oh, God.
He can't play video games. In handing down the order, Trumbull said Heckenkamp's recent court appearances gave her pause. Heckenkamp, 22, had been free on bail until January 18th, when he unexpectedly fired attorney Jennifer Granick, and an impromptu hour-long hearing persuaded the reluctant Trumbull to rescind his $50,000 bail so that the money could be returned to the friend who posted it on his behalf. Heckenkamp was immediately taken into custody at his own request, and he later rehired Granick. I'm concerned about these events, says Trumbull at Tuesday's hearing. I have no idea what's going on in this young man's head, and apparently neither does Dash.
Oh, no, this guy said he wanted to go to jail, and then he went in there and got a little taste of it, and he didn't like that, no.
Well,
in the article we talked about last week, he came out of... He came to court from jail, and he didn't seem very bothered by it, but
mm-hmm.
apparently I think somebody changed his mind in there. Not trying to imply anything, but, you know,
It's probably that guy you met.
Gonna drop the soap in there.
Yeah. But anyway, the other update that we missed because HackerMind just does not air every day is the one that said that he apparently violated his probation by using the internet.
Already?
No. Well, actually, this happened sometime before because when they were going through his computer, they found that someone. At least they found that that hard drive had accessed the computer. Now, he says that his father did it. He gave his father the hard drive, and the father went online, blah, blah, blah. The father confirms that story, but they're claiming that he violated his probation and went online. Now, this story, you're obviously getting pissed off at this kid because he's so stupid. Now,
I'm not pissed off at him. I just think he's a little crazy.
Okay, well, I don't think anybody would argue that fact, but... The reason why I'm so upset is that we're even here to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he supposedly defaces eBay. All right? So he spray paints on a wall. Do we have to go through all this crap and waste taxpayers' money to really punish this kid? Does this kid really need to wear an ankle bracelet? It's crazy.
It's government, yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. This kid is under house arrest. He can't play video games. Now, you know what that is.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
You know what that is. That's just the government's way of saying, ha-ha, we can do anything, and so we're really going to piss you off.
I'm beginning to think, yeah, that's probably right.
Here, you can use a calculator. You can go ahead and, you know, do math, but you can't play a video game. Why? Because. You pissed us off. You pissed off eBay, and we say, you can't. But I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of hackers facing so much time in prison for looking at files. I mean, you open up someone's source code like Kevin Mitnick does, and all of a sudden the FBI is hunting you down. They're devoting hours and hours of manpower to go after you. All right, all these FBI agents tracking down one guy because he saw a computer file.
I don't understand either. I don't think we'll ever understand it. I can't even think of why they would do it. You know, I'm sitting here trying to think of what's the point of doing all that, but I just can't. Besides my earlier theory of
And I think that was a good theory that you had. I think it does have a lot to do with some people understanding this stuff and some people not understanding it, and the people that don't understand it get scared, especially when those are the people that are in power. Because they look like fools.
Yep, exactly. I need to talk about something that's pretty close to what we were talking about right now.
Go ahead.
About hackers being hunted down and prosecuted because they're more intelligent than, you know, somebody would just go into a library and beat a computer with a hammer, but also people who have an anti-government message, and that's the case here. FBI raid silences teen anarchist site.
Oh, raise the fist.
Yes, raise the fist.
Yeah, that was going off the hook.
Raising my fist right now.
See, you gotta listen off the hook now.
In a case that may test limits on... Is this the same article they talked about?
Well, it's the same story, yeah, but go ahead. Some people might not hear it, or not have heard it.
In a case that may test limits on internet free speech in the wake of September 11th, armed federal agents last week raided the home of a Los Angeles teenager suspected of hacking into several websites to post anarchist messages and using his own site, RaiseTheFist.com, to publish bomb-making information. Sherman Martin Austin, 18, is believed to have violated federal computer fraud and abuse laws, as well as statutes prohibiting the distribution of bomb-making information, according to an FBI affidavit. FBI agents conducted the raid on the afternoon of January 24th at the Sherman Oaks residence owned by Austin's mother after receiving a federal warrant. The agents seized several computers and documents, according to an FBI spokesperson. Hang on. I lost my place.
And there's Dash Interrupt for you, folks.
In an interview Wednesday, Austin told NewsBytes, that's where the story's coming from, he was interrogated for more than 6 hours, but has not yet been charged with any crimes. According to Austin, all the site's files, which are dedicated to the anti-corporate globalization movement, were lost as a result of the raid. The site had received approximately 700 unique visitors each day. I think they are a bunch of cheap shots, surrounding and raiding my house with machine guns, shotguns, bulletproof vests. They had more artillery than they used with wanted gang felons or raids on drug operations, said Austin. Matthew McLaughlin, a representative of the FBI's Los Angeles field office, confirmed that agents who conducted the search were heavily armed. This is Los Angeles, after all. We always go in to protect ourselves. We don't go in with slingshots. Yeah, we'll go in with machine guns in a house of a suspected hacker. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, message at RaiseTheFist.com site today, which I went there earlier and it was up. But I've gone there recently and it's not there anymore.
You can check archive sites. I'm not sure of the address. But
I checked it already.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't there?
It has the main page,
uh-huh.
But none of the links work.
Oh.
A message at the RaiseTheFist.com site today described the raid and said the incident was proof that anyone actively disagreeing with policies of the United States is now automatically rendered a terrorist in the eyes of national security. Following the September 11th attacks on America, Congress passed the U.S. Patriot Act, which expanded the ability of law enforcement to hunt for terrorists. People can rant and rave on the internet all they want, but when they cross the line of calling people to action to violently overthrow the Constitution of the United States, they have a problem. Yeah, I think they do have a problem. Let me see here. Basically, it goes on to talk about all the anti-government things he had on his website, and it says here at the bottom, according to Austin, he has been targeted by the government simply because he advocates social justice. If I go to jail, then I will go to jail not based on my actions, but based on what I think, he said. I have to agree with him there. I think his house was raided by the FBI, the Los Angeles Police Department, I know that he said that cops said they don't go in there with slingshots, but I think there is a point where you're using too much artillery to go into a hacker's home and
he's not a hacker. What the hell did he hack?
Huh?
What did he hack?
Oh, yeah, I should probably mention it. Hang on. Let me find it here. Okay.
Did he hack anything?
Yeah. In the interview, Austin acknowledged that he vandalized the websites and that he knew it was illegal to do so. I guess I should tell you which websites. Okay, according to the FBI, Austin allegedly defaced at least 5 commercial websites since 1999 using the nickname UCAUN. I guess that's how it's said. UCAUN, whatever. On 3 of the sites, Austin left behind a packing program named Troop.CGI that was designed to attempt to log into a computer operated by the U.S. Army, the FBI affidavit stated. In an interview, Austin acknowledged that he vandalized websites and that he knew it was illegal to do so, but he defended the act by saying it was necessary to get his message out. So, yeah, he did. He acknowledged that he did hack into those websites. But I still think going in there like they did and taking all of his, they do that to all the hackers, but still, I think this he was more targeted because his website reached more people than most websites, and he had anti-government messages on it.
Well, I certainly don't defend our government going after someone because of what they're saying. I mean, we do have freedom of speech, but I would like to see what exactly he was saying for myself. You know, I would like to actually be able to see that online and then make my own decision, you know?
Yeah, but
about what kind of person he is.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't even matter what he had on there, you know?
Yeah.
It couldn't matter.
Well, no, I don't think, like I said, I don't think that the government should come in and silence him for that.
But I think acknowledging that he hacked in those websites and basically admitting to it is what, you know, let them be able to go in there and get his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he should have done that.
Right, right. I don't think so either. But as far as them going in there heavily armed, well, yeah, okay, but we're used to that. The agents don't know what they're going into. They don't know if this kid's armed, so they go in there not wanting to die. I can understand that.
Yeah, but come on, they have to have, you know, information about, you know, his place and what he does and stuff like that before they just go in there, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, come on, you don't know who's got guns these days.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that they should do this because the kid was speaking his mind or because he hacked the site, mind you. I'm just saying that that's just pretty much common policy, is to go in and scare the hell out of people. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's good. But I'm just saying that's what happens. And what I was saying before, again, I want to stress that I don't think our government should have done this because of what he was saying, but I would like to see what he was saying to make a personal opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you can't do that. You know, I would like to look at this kid and say, yeah, you know, you idiot, you're being a moron or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but unfortunately they took all of his equipment and all his files. And now the website isn't even working anymore. It's not up anymore.
Yeah, see, that's not right. You should, see, if the government really had something on that website that they saw that they thought the American people would be harmed by, they should put it up to show more people and say, hey, look at this and judge for yourself. Not take it down and say, no, you can't see it.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Because from what you're saying, you know, this kid sounds like...
He might be able to when he goes to trial, use that. You know, they stopped his, you know, First Amendment right. You know, because he had a website and he was publishing information, you know.
Yeah, that's possible. But then again, he also hacked into some site, so...
Yeah.
You know, his rights are pretty much going to be going out the door, but I don't know. From what he sounds like a pissed off teenager who's, you know, talking shit and trying to get people riled up. But I can't make a decision on that because I can't see the site. But
like I said, I've never even heard of the website before this. But
yeah, I know.
I wish I knew about it, because probably would have read some stuff on there.
Yeah, see, sites I visit never have this stuff happen to them, you know?
What was that?
I said sites I visit never have this stuff happen to them. You know, I never visit a site and then, oh, it got shut down, you know? That never happens.
Yeah.
All the sites I go to stay up. It just sucks. Okay, but you know what? We got some more chaos going on here.
Yeah, earlier you said we're going to, you know, shake things up a bit.
Yeah, yeah, well... We did. We kind of did things out of order. We had you going, you know, that's pretty much it.
Oh, okay.
FBI issues water supply cyber terror warning. Al-Qaeda terrorists have scoured the web for information on the computerized systems that control water distribution and treatment. NIPC warns. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. That doesn't surprise me.
I thought you would really like this one. Members of Osama bin... I'm not even going to read the whole thing. I'll let you figure it out.
Okay.
Members of Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda terrorist network have sought information on the web about the networks that U.S. utility companies use to remotely control water supply distribution and treatment systems. According to a bulletin issued by the FBI's National Infrastructure Protection Center, NIPC, Wednesday... It says here, U.S. law enforcement and intelligence agencies have received indications that Al-Qaeda members have sought information on supervisory control and data acquisition systems available on multiple SCADA-related websites, reads the bulletin. They specifically sought information on water supply and wastewater management practices in the U.S. and abroad. Now, the article goes on to talk about, you know, the usual... Oh my goodness, this is so horrible, all the things they can do type of deal.
Right, yeah, so basically they're worried that some terrorists are going to somehow poison a water supply or something, right?
Right, they're worried that the terrorists are going to hack into these special systems over here that control our water supply, and the article actually says, and this is the government guy saying it, it says that they could potentially put too much of a particular chemical into the water and thus kill people. And then it goes on with another guy saying that this is ridiculous. I mean, you can learn how to fly a jetliner faster than you can learn how to hack into these systems and change these settings and go through all this trouble to poison the water. It's ridiculous. And you know what? I agree with them. I agree with them. But... more importantly, I mean, what the hell is our government doing? Did we just go into Al-Qaeda's browser history and say, oh, man, look what they're looking at?
I have no idea. Maybe.
Or did these sites get hits from osama@binladen.net?
Yeah, that's probably what happened, you know.
Al-Qaeda.com came here. Uh-oh.
Oh, I think that means something.
I wonder what Osama bin Laden's IP address would be. It'd be really cool just to, like, ping the hell out of him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even touch a computer. Little fucker. Anyway, yeah, so we have a new threat They're terrorists are going after our water supply, blah, blah, blah. Scratch that off. yeah, they're going after our water supply.
Talk about it like you're really, really scared that's going to happen.
If they were going to go after our water supply, they would come over here and dump chemicals in. They would not hack a computer.
Yeah, I think,
they live in caves, Dash. They're friggin' backwards terrorists that live in caves. They're not going to use a computer to hack into our infrastructure.
Yeah, I think it's just more anti-hacking propaganda.
I don't know what it is.
I think it is.
I don't know.
Yes, my friend, I think it is.
You think so?
I do.
All right, well, I'm sick of all this depressing stuff. No more shaking. No more shaking things up. Let's get into some viewer mail that we have here. Listener mail, excuse me.
Oh, listener mail.
Hi, I was wondering, you said something at the beginning of your show about going to a computer school for a year and getting a job starting at $40,000. What would you be taking, and why is it only a one-year school? I'm a student at, I don't want to give the name of the university, here in a state. My major is computers. The classes I have to take include 3 computer intro classes, web development, VB1, VB2, database, VB3, desktop development, C++1, C++2, Java, and some networking classes. This is just the classes for the associate's degree. If I want a bachelor's degree, it will be another 2 years. When we graduate, most people are happy to get a job paying $20,000 a year. I'm thinking you are getting a really good deal. And that comes to us from Dave.
Year, that's not very good.
That comes to us from Dave. And yeah, and I wrote back to Dave and I told him that that I'm going to Porter and Chester, which is I'm not sure if they're nationwide. I don't think so. I know they're in Connecticut, and the whole deal with that is it's going to be 18 months. It's if you go during the day, you go 5 days a week, and that's for 12 months. But if you go at night, you're only going 3 days a week, Monday through Wednesday. So it's going to be 18 months.
Wait, which days?
Monday through Wednesday. So don't worry.
Okay, good.
The whole point of the school is to teach you a career. There is no...
All right, but where is this guarantee of a $40,000 a year job coming from?
From the school.
I know, but, I mean, how do they know that?
Well, I don't know. Everybody gets that.
Really?
All their students have gotten that. Yeah, one even got a $90,000 a year job. Because employers come to them looking for professionals. They don't come looking for a person that knows Shakespeare. And you see, and that's the whole point, because this school teaches you a career. It teaches you computers. The first day you go there, you're going in, you're using DOS to make things happen. You're going in, you're programming, you're doing stuff. You're not just looking at a screen learning, here's a floppy disk.
Yeah.
Okay, you're really getting down and dirty command line stuff, and that's what you get here. And after a year, or if you go, like I said, the night classes, after 18 months, then you're, what they do is they set up interviews for you, they call up companies, they put you in a job. They put you somewhere, and
well,
you're going to be making, they're going to get you a job at least for $30,000 or $40,000, because that's what you're worth.
Yeah.
So, what were you going to say?
He said $20,000, right?
Yeah, well, that's because mainly that school is not going to put him in one.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have to go out, fend for himself. He's not going to have a teacher saying, look, listen, I was with this kid for a year. He knows what he's doing. This is the guy you want. He's not going to have that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell him.
Well, I told him what I told him, and he wrote back and thanked me for the reply, and mentioned that he thinks he's a little too far in to drop out now. Well, he mentioned that it would require another 2 years. I'd like to tell him that I am now 3.5 years through a 4-year college school, and I left it.
Wow, that's pretty far to just quit.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that it's 4 years. I would actually have to go for perhaps even another year.
Yeah.
Because of needing those damn credits. All right, now Dash, is there anything that you have for us tonight?
Well, yeah, I got a few other things I want to mention here.
Okay, what are they?
Well, we already seen that one. See that one every week. Hacker breaks into something, they send them to jail. Yeah. Okay. You want to hear about Napster?
Sure. What's new with Napster?
Kind of a sad article, my friend.
What's so sad about it?
Judge drops Napster bombshell.
Uh-oh.
Marilyn Hall Patel, the district court judge in the Napster case, has been moving some very subversive thoughts recently. We learned from case transcripts unsealed this week. On January 16th, the New York Times reports, Patel questioned if the record company's copyright extended to digital distribution of music and granted Napster leave to explore whether the labels were colluding to prevent licensing music for online distribution. The first suggestion would represent a major setback for the RIAA, as its ownership of the copyright has never seriously been questioned. A modification of the copyright would cast doubt over the continuance of the record label's pigopoly. Monopoly, get it? Okay.
I got you.
That's the good news. Mm-hmm. The bad news is that Napster has neither the deep pockets nor the stomach for continuing the fight, and agrees with the record companies that the case should be abandoned. According to the Times report, Patel may encourage Napster to explore the ownership issue, even if a sweetheart deal between the two litigants is reached by February 17th. No company has ever been presented with such an opportunity to challenge the record labels on the key plank of its legal offensive, but Napster is intent on meekly securing a licensing deal that leaves the industry power structure essentially unchanged and almost certainly guarantees its own irrelevance. So here's a chance to question the online music copyright question,
mm-hmm.
and Napster just can't do it. It doesn't have enough money, you know, and they're just worn down.
Well, that's the whole point of the RIAA fighting Napster, was to wear them down to get all their money out, so now they can't fight it.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. And, you know, we can't expect Napster to fight it by themselves. I mean, it would be nice, but they can't.
Yeah, it would be nice, but just in this one case, this judge questioned if the record company's copyright extended to digital distribution of music.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's just for this one case, and they can't fight it because they don't have enough money, and it's a sad deal.
Let's be realistic here. Even if they did fight it, they would lose.
I would hope that they wouldn't, but you're probably right.
They would lose. They would have the right to do whatever they want with all forms of their music.
Unless Napster had more money than them.
Okay, yeah, well, they don't. They were a free service to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, Dash, we're going to try something dumb here.
Oh, cool.
Dash, are you a good whistler?
Hang on. Let me see. Hang on. No, I haven't done it in a while.
Well,
I don't think I'm
going
to be able to do it.
You can't do it? You can't whistle? That's not bad. Can you get a little bit higher?
Hang on. Yeah, I can't whistle.
All right. Well, we're going to... That's getting closer. Oh man, this is gonna be so stupid. It's not even funny. Dash, hold on. When you hear the noise,
try to whistle.
if we manage to cut out, we're gonna get a reorder on a step by step switch. And if we manage to knock out the reorder, we're gonna try dialing something and see what we get. Okay, this is called blue boxing, folks. This is called blue boxing through a digital switch to a step-by-step, and it's not going to work, but we're going to try it, because we're stupid anyway.
Yeah, all right, let's try it.
All right, hold on, Dash. Don't get pissed when I flash over.
All right.
Yeah. Now, we have to try the damn number. There we go. Like, it really matters if you hear it. Well, you suck, Dash. Oh, my kingdom for 2600. Oh, the hell with it. How the hell does the whistler do that? You know, Joe Ingresia, how does he do that?
I don't know.
He gets a reorder, he whistles 2600, that thing is, boom, knocked out, and then he whistles a one. He doesn't even have to dial, he whistles it. He actually pulses out a one with his lips.
Well, he's the man, and we're not, so.
my God, I've been trying to do that all day. Now, maybe it's just not possible. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's calling through a specific carrier or something, but my goodness, I've been trying to do that all day. I just can't do it.
Yeah, just can't do it, man.
What I wouldn't do for a blue box now. And forget about those ones that they have online. I tried it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that number, that was...
That didn't work out too well.
That was Nantes, Quebec. We've called it before. That was at 819-547-3333. Now, Dash, I've been trying to think up some cool stuff to do, you know, because what we really need to do is... People love when we play around with the phone. They love when we try stuff. What could we do?
Let me think. We could call that number and try to... Oh, no, we already did that.
We could call you know what we could do, but I don't want to do this now because people, you know, people aren't ready for it.
No, they're not ready for it.
What?
They're not ready for it. Whatever it is, they're not ready for it.
Yeah, well, maybe next week or something we can call up the comm line and have people actually call into that.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what we could try? We could try the trick that we wrote in Equal Access. We could try actually making the ultimate conference call.
We could try that.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. We can try that next week, see how many people that we can get into it.
Yeah. Hmm. The ultimate con call.
The ultimate
con call.
Yeah, con call. I like that. I like
ultimate
that.
Con call.
It's a con line, but...
I think that's what they call it when somebody calls somebody in prison.
All right, let's see what else the notebook has for tonight. Did you realize that every single person in the world is a... Well, at least every single person whose number doesn't work... is a voice scream. Voice scream. Yeah, well, that's a good name.
Voice scream.
Yeah, I like that. Voice is a voice stream subscriber. Did you know that, Dash? Did you know any number that doesn't work in the world belongs to a voice stream subscriber?
You don't say.
Yes, I do say. On my voice stream phone, whenever I dial any number that doesn't work. Now, you know what? I tried holding this thing up to the microphone to see if it would record through the mic. But, of course, it doesn't. It just gets so much static, and my monitor starts going crazy because of the waves that are going out.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah.
It just won't happen. So, here's the deal. I dial a number that doesn't work.
But using your voice stream phone.
Yeah, using my voice stream phone, right. And it tells me that voice stream customer is not in service right now.
So any number...
Yeah, you know, Dash, I called a number in the 321 area code, which is Cape Canaveral, Florida. Thanks to, yes, Cheshire Catalyst. But I called that area code, and it told me that voice scream. No, I'm calling it voice scream.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good name for it.
Voice scream subscriber was just not in service.
I didn't know voice scream.
Voice scream.
Yeah,
so apparently anybody you call on a voice scream phone that isn't there is a voice scream subscriber.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, it is. Alrighty.
Dynamite.
Ooh, here's a number. What's this number?
What is that number?
I don't know. I don't... should I call it? I don't know if I want to call it.
I don't know. Where is it? Where did you find it?
Oh, that's right. I heard this on Off the Hook. It's 404-988-9664, but you have to call it through 1010-732. But that was back in 91, so I don't know what the hell it's going to do now.
Why do you have that written down somewhere?
Yeah, you probably do. Hey, you want to hear somebody answer the phone saying bonjour?
Sure.
Okay, this is going to cost me a hell of a lot of money, so... Hold on.
No.
Oh, damn it. I dialed the wrong number, Dash. Give me a minute here.
Ah.
I'm so used to 1010 cones. I'm not used to these crazy 101s. Okay, here we go, folks. They're going to say bonjour. If I don't screw it up.
Assistance.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong number.
Where's the bonjour.
Nothing works for me. I called that number before, and she said bonjour.
Where's the man? You promised us a bonjour.
You know, it's just this has been a rough night. This has been a really rough night because first we can't get the digital voice to talk to us from WinXP.
Yeah, that sucks.
We can't whistle to kill the reorder.
You can't whistle for shit.
And then I just spent money calling Canada for information that I didn't even need. Fortunately, though, that's on a step-by-step switch, so I'm hoping that their switches just really don't know what to charge me.
Oh, so, I think they do.
Well, I know my local ones do.
The one they got right.
Yeah, but maybe, because when you call information on that switch up there, I don't think it costs you anything. I don't think they're able to charge you. I'm not sure, though, because times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, they are. They are a-changing.
Dash, do you realize that a lot of the time you just say what I say? You gotta be more opinionated, man.
Okay, man, the times aren't changing. You're out of your league. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about, man? The times aren't changing. You're changing. Times stay the same.
See, that's all you gotta do.
You just need to give it the program.
I'm hosting it, so.
Oh.
That's all you gotta do, Dash. Because, you know, I say something.
Hey, from now on, I'll just disagree with anything you say.
Hey, good. That'd be a better show. People like
it. Wouldn't be a better show.
It wouldn't?
I'm just disagreeing.
Oh. Very good. Very good.
Not very good. Stupid.
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, I had some other things to piss and moan about tonight, but I'm just tired of it, you know?
I got something here.
What do you have for us?
You're out of stuff?
No, I was going to... Remember how I told you I was going to complain about whether port scanning for Sub 7 was...
Oh, yeah.
I just don't feel like it at the moment.
Don't feel like it?
Yeah, I'm going to close up the notebook and I'm going to...
You just sit back and I'll take over from here. You just can't handle it, my friend.
No, I sure can't. Ash, you host the show. Go ahead.
Cracker's exploit, Cisco LAN switch flaw.
Yeah, I know I did.
No, not you.
Hmm?
Cisco has warned users of a potential denial of service risk involving its popular Catalyst LAN switches. A buffer overflow vulnerability in Telnet option handling can be used to crash the process and force the Catalyst switch to reload. This operation could be repeated by an attacker to produce a denial of service attack. Cisco Catalyst switches series 4000, 5000, and 6000, and also 2948G and 2900 models.
Damn.
Running cat OS are affected by the flaw, which Cisco warns has already been exploited. Other Cisco LAN switches and routers, are immune. Yes, they're immune, like a virus. Yeah, okay. The networking giant is offering free software upgrades to affected by the flaw.
See, it's not easy, Dash.
That doesn't make any sense. These people are stupid.
Yeah, I know.
The networking giant is offering free software upgrades to people affected by the flaw and published a schedule for the availability of fixed releases, which shows fixes will be available by February 4th. Okay, yeah. Cisco is advising users to upgrade software on... Okay, this is just getting boring, but, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. Cisco Crackers... Yeah, they call them Crackers. Exploit Cisco LAN switch flaw. How do you like that?
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I do.
You like that.
I do. All right, so we have an updated HackerMind.net site. Be sure to check that out. Dash, great work with the HTML.
Hey, I know it was.
See, you're supposed to disagree with me, though.
Not when you're saying something good about
it. Oh, okay. Now, we're going to have something a little bit different, though, for frequency, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now we're actually going to have people are going to actually be able to read an issue without downloading it.
Yeah, view it online, kind of like a frack style thing.
Yeah, but a freak thing, though.
Yeah, but a freak thing, not a frack thing.
Yeah, so now you're going to go to the frequency page, you're going to be able to either download it or view it. So if you click download, duh. If you click view, you're going to see HTML of the issue presented on your screen with the, if it has a cover, the cover will be at the top.
Right.
And that should be cool, because I know a lot of people have been complaining about having to download those huge 50K files.
Oh, yeah, man. On my, you know, 19, I mean, whatever. I messed it up. Never mind.
1900 baud?
Yeah, well, yeah. It was real slow,
wasn't
yeah.
Was there a 1900?
I don't know. That's what I'm starting to think of.
I know there's a 900.
All right, 900 baud modem. Those 50K files are killing me.
1200 baud.
Takes me a week.
And there's 2400. Okay. Well, we started 2 minutes early, so I guess it makes sense to end 2 minutes early.
I guess, in your weird little world.
Yes, well, in my weird little world, everything is perfect.
I don't agree with that statement.
I know. All right, so is there anything else before we go for the week that we should tell people about? Anything of importance?
I don't know, but here's something kind of interesting.
What's that?
You want to know what the most downloaded file from HackerMind.net is?
Yeah, what's that?
The HackerMind All-Nighter.
The HackerMind All-Nighter is the most downloaded file?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's also the biggest one, so all you people complaining about the little frequency... All right.
Yeah.
So
most downloaded.
Settle down. Stay
calm. The HackerMind All-Nighter.
Stay calm. You know, I always try to listen to the whole HackerMind All-Nighter, but I already know where it's going.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, we were there. And you know what?
What?
We're going to be there for the next one.
That's right.
But we don't want to say anything more about that. That's going to stay under the table for right now.
Yeah, that's tucked away.
Yes, and for those of you that were even considering it, please go to the Freedom Downtime showing at the Sutton One Theater, February 9th in New York City. Don't worry, they're not sold out. According to what Emmanuel said on Off the Hook, they've sold 17 tickets, two of which belong to me.
Yeah.
How great. I'll be sitting next to Emmanuel watching the movie. That's just wonderful. That's just great. But, yeah, hope to see you there. And that's it. We're done.
Buy Equal Access if you want, you know, good information about
that's it. That's what I was trying to get at. No, I'm not trying to sell Equal Access. I wanted to tell people.
Put it out there, man. You've got to put it out there. People know where you're coming from, no matter how hard you try to get around.
Overseas subscribers. That's what we're trying to.
Oh, I was just trying to pimp out the magazine.
Deal with it. I know you were. But overseas subscribers, right now it's $27 for a one-year overseas subscription, which we know is extremely expensive. So we will be lowering it, hopefully within a week or two. We want to get it all worked out with the post office to find out what the lowest possible price would be for people overseas. I know we had one person emailed us, actually left a message on our board, asking if they can get a trial issue overseas. And as of right now, as of this moment that I'm saying this, no. But that will be changing shortly. Okay, hopefully within a week, maybe two at most, that will be changing. It'll be a couple dollars more than it would be domestically, but it won't be as outrageous as it is now. So if you haven't yet subscribed overseas, don't. Just wait about a week or two.
Just wait. Just hold on.
Yeah, and then you're not going to miss anything. You'll still get the first issue. And that's it. I'm tired. I'm Screamer Chaotix. That's Dash Interrupt. We're out of here. See you next week. Bye-bye.